During the campaign, FDR promised to use his experience as an architect of the Great War to tackle the Depression. Even before he was nominated, he ordered aides to prepare a brief on presidential war powers. He asked Rexford Tugwell to find out if he could use the 1917 Trading with the Enemy Act to unilaterally embargo gold exports and extracted an assurance from his intended attorney general that no matter what the arguments to the contrary, the Department of Justice would find that Roosevelt had the authority to do whatever he felt necessary in this regard. Roosevelt's inaugural address was famously drenched with martial metaphors. "I assume unhesitatingly the leadership of this great army of our people, dedicated to the disciplined attack upon our common problems." According to a document unearthed by the Newsweek columnist Jonathan Alter, FDR's staff prepared a radio address to the American Legion, the first to be delivered after his inaugural, in which FDR was to instruct the veterans that they should become his own extra-constitutional private army. Alter's words, "The new commander-in-chief, under the oath to which you are still bound," Roosevelt's prepared text read, "I reserve to myself the right to command you in any phase of the situation which now confronts us." While Alter concedes this was dictator talk, an explicit power grab, and showed that FDR or his minions contemplated forming a makeshift force of veterans to enforce some kind of martial law, he minimizes the importance of his own discovery. He leaves out the legacy of the American Protective League, which FDR no doubt endorsed. He fails to mention that the American Legion saw itself as an American fascisti for a time. And he leaves out that FDR, who showed no reluctance when it came to using the FBI and other agencies to spy on domestic critics, oversaw the use of the American Legion as a quasi-official branch of the FBI to monitor American citizens. Almost every program of the early New Deal was rooted in the politics of war, the economics of war, or the aesthetics of war emerging from World War I. The Tennessee Valley Authority, or TVA, the signature public works project of the New Deal, had its roots in a World War I power project. As FDR explained when he formally asked Congress to create the thing, "This power development of war days leads logically to national planning." The Supreme Court defended the constitutionality of the TVA in part by citing the president's war powers. Many New Deal agencies, the famous alphabet soup, were mostly continuations of various boards and committees set up 15 years earlier during the war. The National Recovery Administration was explicitly modeled on the War Industries Board of World War I. The Securities and Exchange Commission was an extension of the Capital Issues Committee of the Federal Reserve Board. The Reconstruction Finance Corporation was an updated version of the War Finance Corporation. FDR's Public Housing Initiative was run by the architect of World War I era housing policies. During the war, public housing had been a necessity for war laborers. Under FDR, everyone became, in effect, a war laborer. Presumably, it is not necessary to recount how similar all of this was to developments in Nazi Germany. But it is worth noting that for the first 2 years of the American and German New Deals, it was America that pursued militarism and rearmament at a breakneck pace, while Germany spent relatively little on arms, though Hitler faced severe constraints on rearmament.